Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Julie Kelly answers the question, would the FBI really plant evidence? And then Daniel Horowitz, in his rather understated way, compares the current regime to the Fourth Reich. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. Support the Charlie Kirk Show at charliekirk.com/support. Get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. And I will see many of you Sunday with Ron DeSantis, Kerry Lake, and Blake Masters. That's tpaction.com, tpaction.com. As always, email me your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. With us is one of our national treasures. She does an amazing job. One of the reasons she does such a great job is because she does the tough work. She actually does research into the weeds, into the details, and that is Julie Kelly. Julie, welcome back to the program.
Hey, Charlie. Thank you. What a gracious introduction. I appreciate that.
Well earned, especially over the last couple of years. So, Julie, let me ask you, you were talking about how the FBI has a track record of planting evidence. I have said, Newt Gingrich has said, and President Trump has said, I hope they weren't planting some stuff at Mar-a-Lago. And immediately we're all smeared as conspiracy theorists. Enlighten us about the FBI's track record on planting evidence.
Well, we have to look no further, of course, than the infamous Steele dossier, which was fake evidence planted not only throughout the media, throughout Congress, but of course presented to a secret court, not once, but four times, and presented by the FBI, signed off on by James Comey and then Andrew McCabe. So what was interesting, Charlie, is that I've been covering the retrial of the remaining two defendants in the Whitmer Fednapping case. And what came up yesterday in opening arguments by a defense attorney was talking about how an FBI informant planted material for an explosive device in the truck of his client, the defendant. And then when he was arrested by the FBI collected that and used it as evidence against him. So it was just sort of funny to see this all happening in real time. And of course, the Whitmer case is a perfect example, not just of evidence. There was tons of evidence planted throughout this 6-month, 7-month caper by the FBI, but they were primarily responsible for the entire scheme. So this FBI is not above or below doing anything. And this fully justified why our side, and certainly Donald Trump, would believe that all these FBI agents spread out throughout his house and possibly put something somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, and what were they doing for 9.5 hours, Julie? That's the question, right? 9.5 hours. Do we have an answer to that?
We don't. And now you could see, Charlie, how they're trying to change the subject.
Yes.
Now they're changing the subject from what the FBI did on Monday night to now we are somehow a threat.
Yes.
Because we are criticizing what
That's
happened
exactly
in the
right.
FBI. Who knows? Now we're hearing there's an alleged gunman outside of the Cincinnati field office. Very few people. It's already getting mocked, which is sad because the FBI doesn't realize the danger of their destroying their credibility, burning the trust of the American people. This has real consequences, which we also can see in the Whitmer case. You had so many prospective jurors the other day saying, we don't trust the government, which is fine. There's no reason to trust it. But, you know, now the FBI will come out with anything, and half the country not only doesn't believe it, they're openly mocking this now on social media. So this has real consequences to the country, the security of the country, what Christopher Wray's FBI and this DOJ has been doing for years.
What do you think the calculus was for this? I mean, the backlash has been so severe. Merrick Garland has yet to speak out at all. Christopher Wray did some bumbling press conference yesterday where you're right. Immediately he says, look, the problem is how we are being attacked as law enforcement. Like, look, no one is attacking you guys in the sense of calling for physical violence. No one in decent societies. I'm not doing that. Bannon's not doing that. You're not doing, no one's doing that. We're talking about being peaceful. We're talking about how outrageous you are. You guys drew the guns. You guys came in guns blazing, 30 FBI agents for 270 man hours. And so now there's an FBI shooter that came today, and they say, look. And again, we don't know any of the facts surrounding it. What is the calculus, though, do you think? Do you think this was a properly thought out raid, or do you think they regret doing it?
Oh, I don't think they regret anything, because look, Charlie, we just go back to Crossfire Hurricane, what Kash Patel was talking about. 6 years of this nonsense, not any criminal repercussions for the people responsible for that. So they don't care. And this is part of creating the optics, Charlie, of eventually charging, indicting, and arresting Donald Trump for some sort of crime related to January 6th. This is all PR spin. They don't care about the evidence. They don't care about the repercussions, because they've gotten away with everything so far. And you know what, Charlie? The GOP can say whatever they want now. They've been mostly silent in the face of this very dangerous political persecution of hundreds of Americans for January 6th. Now we're supposed to believe they're going to get tough. I don't know. I need more evidence and a few mean letters and a few nasty tweets.
Yes, so totally unrelated about planting evidence. Who planted the pipe bombs?
That's right. Don't know.
We don't know, right?
That's a perfect example right there, Charlie. We were told by this FBI that these devices were planted the night before outside of RNC and DNC headquarters, that they threatened the life of Kamala Harris, who still inexplicably was at the DNC building that day. DOJ has lied about it for a year until it was finally exposed. So who planted the pipe bombs? It created all kinds of chaos, right? It prompted the first evacuations. That's completely been memory hold. There's no evidence of it. And furthermore, I know Darren Beatty at Revolver.News last week had a whole video montage of how certain chunks of time were cut out of the surveillance video that the FBI posted. So that's a great example of the FBI either planting evidence or creating some sort of narrative that is not backed up by fact.
If Republicans take back two chambers of the House and the Senate, or even one, what is the solution? What do you suggest we do?
Well, first of all, Charlie, I really think they need to cut off all federal funding for the DC U.S. Attorney's Office. This is the festering sore for all of this, especially related to January 6th. Those agents were at Mar-a-Lago. Those agents have been responsible for the criminal persecution of hundreds of Americans for January 6th. It is run now by the same guy who was in charge of the Detroit field office under the Whitmer Fednapping. You can't make this up, right? Cut out he's head of the FBI field office. But these people all work in tandem, minute by minute. The DC U.S. Attorney's Office cut off all federal funding. My friend Kyle Scheidler has a great piece up at American Greatness and Greatness.com, which lays out very specifically how this FBI needs to be dismantled and where its more critical functions can be handed off to other agencies, including state and local law enforcement.
Yeah, I mean, it's tragic what's happening. Is there any going back from this, or is this, do you think the raid is such a big deal, this is kind of a new chapter in American politics?
I think they took it to a new level. I think they took it to a new level intentionally, because they want to create so much chaos before the election, Charlie, along with the FBI and indicting Donald Trump. I mean, they're in very dangerous territory. So there's no going back for us. We know this. The big question is what the GOP is going to do when they take control.
Are you confident they're going to do anything?
No, I'm really not. Because this takes real courage. And we just don't see that in the Republican leadership, unless they put courageous people in charge, like MTG, Matt Gaetz,
Here's the thing, is that every Republican member of Congress that has the Church and Pike Committee, yes, the feds will also spy on you, probably indict your family members and raid you if you dare try to oversee them. That's why everyone in D.C. is so afraid of the administrative state. They use their power against you if you dare challenge them.
That's right. And I think they're misfiring, too. This is not a Merrick Garland problem. Merrick Garland is Joe Biden. He is simply supposed to be a grandfatherly figurehead. The problem is Christopher Wray. The problem is 56 field offices with agents working at his direction. Matthew Graves, the D.C. U.S. Attorney's Office, and Lisa Monaco, the deputy AG, who got 48 Republican senators to vote for her confirmation.
And also, Merrick Garland got 20 Republican senators. But I agree, it's not all about Garland. It is the federal bureau and the police state they've created. Julie Kelly, thank you so much. AmGreatness.com. You do a wonderful job. Thank you.
Thanks, Charlie.
Are you like every one of us that thinks our country has gone nuts, whether it's Russiagate, market crashes, or selling oil to China, or this insane inflation? Well, right now, you need a financial mind who understands your concerns, but at the same time has a Christian worldview of money. That's why you should talk to my friends at Pax Financial Group. Look, I've given my money to Pax Financial to manage. If it's good enough for me, I think it's good for you. Like all of us, they have concerns, but they also have hope. In this market, you must have a financial person who shares your hope and at the same time can help you with biblical responsible investing, BRI, biblical responsible investing. That's why I want you to text the word Charlie to 74868. That is Charlie to 74868 to connect with my friends at the Pax Financial Group. Biblical responsible investing. So take out your phone. Just text Charlie to 74868. That's 74868. Text Charlie to connect with my great friends at the Pax Financial Group. The IRS hiring spree is the biggest expansion of the police state in American history, by David Harsanyi. The Democrats' reconciliation bill, I'm reading from thefederalist.com, isn't just going to be the largest ever expansion of a government agency. It's going to be the largest expansion of the domestic police state in American history. Many of you watching right now will be audited, and many of you will have to go through a very difficult time defending yourself. Nonprofits, churches, get ready, they're coming. The Internal Revenue Service, will they embody their inner KGB, their Stasi, and come after every single freedom lover? Be prepared. The average American has less reason to be concerned about cops with guns, that the IRS is looking for special agents that can, quote, carry a firearm and be willing to use deadly force if necessary. The federal government that already collects $4.1 trillion every year, or $12,300 for every citizen, why do they need 80 new battalions of IRS cops? There are other overlooked aspects of the IRS's expansion bill. The bill, for instance, strengthens the federal public sector union monopoly that funds Democrat political aspirations. The IRS and Treasury Department employees spend 353,000 hours engaged in union activism. Their PAC gives every cent to Democrats. One can imagine what another 87,000 employees would do for that effort. In the real world, laundering taxpayer funds through unions and using them for political campaigns is called racketeering. Thank you, Joe Manchin and Lois Lerner. Not Lois Lerner, Kyrsten Sinema. I was reading Lois Lerner here in this segment. And they call it the Inflation Reduction Act. Of course, we've called it the Dissident Imprisonment Act. So don't be surprised in the coming weeks, in the coming months, in the coming years. You heard it here. Just clip this tape. When you start to see stories of nonprofits and churches and hospitals and pro-life clinics and people that are audited unfairly and targeted by the IRS, this is their big offensive. Out of all the things that they have done, the 87,000 new IRS agents that they have hired will be one of the most dangerous and long-lasting pieces of legislative approval that they have done. So what can you do about it? Well, Republicans can hopefully repeal it, but they won't. Republicans, I mean, look, remember when Paul Ryan was Speaker and McConnell was Senate President and Trump was President? Did we do any of that? Now, the left always said, defund the police. No, we need to defund the police state. Defund the administrative state. Look, many Republicans, when they get into office in January, hopefully we win, and hopefully we're able to do some oversight. But many of them are not going to actually go fight the IRS. They might do some oversight, but honestly, they just don't want to get audited. Remember, Harry Truman famously said that the FBI very well could become the Gestapo or the secret police. This is Harry Truman, who was president in the late 1940s up until 1952. He said the FBI is trending in that direction. What would he say now? Adam Mill for American Greatness, amgreatness.com, asked the question, how do we get rid of the FBI? Short of abolishing the Bureau, our elected leaders must exercise their power to reimpose constitutional supremacy over the out-of-control agency. It's a great piece. You guys can read it at amgreatness.com. increasing transparency, end or limit the stings and setups. Do not let the FBI and Justice Department investigate their own. End self-funding through forfeitures. These are all very important things that we could do. But I'm just going to level with you guys. The likelihood of the Uniparty, the likelihood of the Republican Party defunding the IRS this January is very low. And then getting Joe Biden to agree to it, by the way, or whomever is president in January to agree to it. You see, Republicans were too busy passing tax cuts for Goldman Sachs and for Google than to go and fund the IRS. You might say, Charlie, that's a pretty hopeless message. No, it's not. Just be ready for the audits. It's going to be another thing you're going to have to deal with. If you run a business, you'll probably be audited. If you run a nonprofit, you'll be audited. And they will have the deluge, the football stadium of IRS agents will be coming, knocking to a door near you. And I believe the raid is a microcosm, is a metaphor for the attitude that the Washington, D.C. administrative state will now have. They better be careful, though. The people are not going to put up with this. Honestly, what states need to do, states should say, like Arizona should say, the IRS is not welcome in Arizona. Just an idea. Look, I love Good Ranchers, and I know a lot of you love them too. And do some good this August as everyone goes back to school, and do some good by helping feed kids who are facing hunger and food insecurity. Good Ranchers is on a mission to donate 100,000 high-quality meals to young kids who often go unfed or end up malnourished from poor access to nutritious food. You can join this campaign by ordering a box of 100% American meat. Every order contributes meals to the cause and makes a massive difference in the lives and minds of these young kids. If you didn't know, Good Ranchers is a fabulous company. I love them. I know them so well. They're an award-winning food delivery service that brings 100% American meat and seafood to your door. They source the best of American farms so you can get the highest quality food possible and trust you're feeding your family every time. When they send us Good Ranchers to our office, smiles populate across the landscape. A good meal goes a long way for anyone, especially a child. They need protein, vitamins, and nutrition to help them grow. So fill your plate while you fuel their minds with Good Ranchers. So go to goodranchers.com/Kirk to join the movement today. You get $30 off your order, free shipping, and donate life-changing food to kids in need. Giving back never tasted or felt so good. Let's help them hit or pass their goal of 100,000 meals donated. All we have to do is change the way we buy meat. Stop going to the grocery store, and you can get better quality, better flavor, and more impact with Good Ranchers. So don't think twice. Go to goodranchers.com/Charlie or use my promo code Kirk to claim your $30 offer of any box of beef, chicken, or seafood. Again, it's the Back to School Giving Back campaign. School is right around the corner, and many kids do not know where their meals are coming from. Every order with Good Ranchers fills plates and fuels minds. Do your part. Do good this month by helping them reach their goal of 100,000 high-quality meals. $30 off your order plus free shipping. They're the fastest growing meat company in America. They're 100% American meat to your door. So go to goodranchers.com/Kirk. I want the Charlie Kirk Show to donate the most meals of everyone. Go to goodranchers.com/Kirk. That is goodranchers.com/Kirk. Daniel Horowitz is here, author of a new book that is very subtly titled, you know, not exactly getting to the point, The Rise of the Fourth Reich. Confronting COVID fascism with a new Nuremberg trial so this never happens again, Daniel Horowitz. Daniel, I want to get to your book, but let me just ask you a question. You're Jewish. That's a big claim to say that this is the rise of the Fourth Reich.
It's a very big claim, and I want to get into it, but I think given the week we live in,
that's what I really want to lead
with. I think everyone understands what that means. And I want to be very specific. It's not just about a severity of evil. It's very technical in what they're doing, who's doing it, and how they're doing it. But I mean, more broadly, look, Charlie, when it comes to the FBI raid, and I think kind of forgotten, but just the significant, the seizure of Congressman Scott Perry's phone, this is not a matter of a red line crossed by the bad guys, because as I lay out in my book, that was crossed March 2020. Okay. And somehow the conservative movement slept through the last 2.5 years, which is bizarre. I mean, COVID fascism, BLM, January 6th, and then Ukraine, that was all part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But this is more an IQ test whether we have crossed our own line. It's an IQ test for the conservative movement. Will this finally motivate us to change our strategy and what we do politically?
Do you think it is?
I definitely see people calling for that and understanding that Rhino's winning back Congress at a federal level and holding hearings is kind of not good enough. It's kind of not inflation, taxes, bad economy. Like, you know, you could wind up a toy and stick it back in the 1970s or 1980s, 1990s and run the same campaign. Those are some downstream severe effects of it. But the it is the Fourth Reich. The it is this uninhibition where we now have an enemy. It's not necessarily race-based, although they do do a lot of baiting of race. It is, are you with the regime or against the regime?
Yes.
This is a global regime. It's not just America. It's in every Western former democracy that if you're with us, you're fine. If not, you don't deserve to live. You forfeit your right to life, liberty, property. Your existence is criminalized. Your human breath, literally, this was what we missed, is criminalized. We can engage in apartheid, track you with a QR code like a bag of celery at a grocery store, and your political views and certainly opposition is criminal. Okay, that in itself is criminal. Your belief, see, this is the difference. Typically, you had a certain crime, and then sometimes they would use your statements. Now the statements are the main ingredient. So what you're seeing with Scott Perry is anyone who believes that, for example, hey, no, I think the elector clause, it's the state legislature more than the governor that has the power to appoint electors, criminal and done. And then we could use your statement, hold you without without bail. I want people to understand this did not begin with Trump. It began with the poor schlepper, the poor army vet that had no backing, couldn't find a lawyer, and nobody in big conservative names, and dare I say, Trump's circles himself, really did much for them. People committed suicide. They languished in jail for a year and a half. You know, I had a couple of weeks ago on my podcast, Dr. Andrew Huff. He was a whistleblower who he worked with Peter Daszak of Eco Health Alliance. And he was one of the ones who said he believes that Daszak was a CIA agent because he told him himself and worked on the very research that created unleashed this virus. So that's all he did. He described in great detail how the FBI bugged his home, surrounded it, tased his dog, went in and stole stuff. And he has never confronted them. They have never confronted him. He's not alleged to have committed a crime. I mean, he did. His crime was speaking out. But this is the world we live in now. Complete uninhibition. Evidentiary standards, life, liberty, judicial process, due process, legal, political, social norms. They do not matter. And we will use unprecedented technology to achieve that. So between the technology, between the fact that it's global, not national, and between the fact that it's a public-private partnership, perfectly synergized, there's nowhere to escape it. That, Charlie, is what the Fourth Reich is. Imagine if Hitler had the technology we have today, mini-me's in every single Western country to do similarly to their people what he did, and a perfect synergistic operation with every private business, media, banking, medicine, science, you name it. That's what we are confronted with today.
So you're build that out a little bit more, because some people would say, "Oh, that's you're exaggerating. Come on, Fourth Reich. There's no way it's as bad as it is now." Again, you're Jewish, so you don't say this lightly. Build that out.
Sure. So you know we have a fascinating chapter that's going to be titled "Auschwitz Didn't Start with Auschwitz." It's written in the form of a Nuremberg trial. Okay, Nuremberg trial. And it's 20 witnesses we call experts, witnesses, that witnessed different aspects of what went on the last 2.5 years. And the last one is a Holocaust survivor, child Holocaust survivor, that connects the dots. And again, you know, obviously we can get into the data, and we've done this before. There are tens of millions of people across the globe that will die as a result of the unleashing of the virus and the unleashing of the vaccine and the lockdowns, and they're still working on it. Okay? So that is there, and if you don't see it, there's a problem there. Because that data is all there now. We saw the subclinical myocarditis is now 60 times greater than the clinical level. And that likely explains why people are dropping dead all over the place. And they are continuing this every day and finding ways to increase it the more it comes out, how deadly it is. So the severity is there, but it's more subtle. Auschwitz didn't start with Auschwitz. The goal is to head it off. The Third Reich, Germany in the 1930s, one of the things we discuss, and again, this all ties back into the FBI raids and IRS, everything we're talking about this week. It started with medical and medical nationalism.
That's right.
And scientism.
Yeah.
People forget
right.
that.
That's exactly.
That
right.
was the lead ship in the Armada. And it didn't really start with Jews per se, or certainly not exclusively. It was, they had a whole program of eugenics to get rid of the infirm, the elderly, the useless eaters, literally the words that World Economic Forum officials use to this day. And we go through the literature. It runs the gambit of all political persuasions. Anyone who studies the Third Reich agrees that scientists and doctors got sucked into it quicker and in larger numbers than other people.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, this is an indisputable fact. They were people. In order to understand the Fourth Reich, we develop what is the Third Reich. And people nowadays think of evil. I think they conjure up an image of like ISIS guys with masks dancing around with AK-47s, you know, chanting Allah Akbar. That's, I think, kind of the image people have. But what was unique about the Third Reich is it was in the middle of the 20th century, not in the Dark Ages. It was in Western Europe, the most advanced society, certainly with medicine and science. And by the way, unlike the last 2.5 years, they did have legitimate science that came out of you know, their scientism, including some of the evil stuff. Unlike now, nothing came out of it. I don't want to be flippant with that. But I'm saying the point is it was very subtle. It's like, oh, come on. Yeah, we all know you can't burn people in an oven, you know, in Auschwitz. That's not what the Nuremberg trials, particularly the separate doctor's trial, was coming to root out. They had a separate doctor's trial. We're coming up on the 75th anniversary, December of this year, of that trial in 1947. And they wanted to root out that scientism that elevated the goals of medical purity, scientific purity, medical nationalism over the rights and prerogatives and informed consent of the individual. That is a forgotten part of Nuremberg and what led to the callous disregard of life. And that you, by existing, are a
yes.
threat. Unless you take an affirmative action to your body, as we say, you are a threat and you forfeit your right to live. We go through the people that were denied kidney transplants,
mm-hmm.
denied. I mean, now in Germany, by the way, they came up with a color-coded QR system where they're just going to wand you with it like a bag of lettuce. And if you didn't get not just the shots, but within like 2 or 3 months from now, then you have to put on a mask. You can't breathe. Wake up. Wake up. So it was unique. The Third Reich was unique in terms of the history. It was done very cultured people. It sounded great. Science, nationalism, yes. all for those purposes, medical nationalism. They did work a little bit with IBM, with some of their identification stuff in the concentration camps. It's a very sore point. Your listeners could look it up. Some American companies did collaborate. You had a little bit of private partnership with that as well.
The German historicist belief, which was launched by Hegel,
mixed with the Industrial Revolution and the hyper-organized, let's just say, predisposition of the German people, launched a 50 to 60 year unprecedented focus on science that was led by people that you might know or might not know, where you had a lack of morality, you had hyper-nationalism, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but with no morality, no anchoring, and then with absolutely terrible leadership, economic collapse. But the 40 or 50 years prior to the rise of the Third Reich was this idea of the perfection of man himself, of we are going to perfect man via the scientific method, that we will create das Übermensch, as Friedrich Nietzsche would say. Now, Friedrich Nietzsche wrote Beyond Good and Evil, and I think it's called something Malthusra. I'll think of it in a second. That book was the most widely distributed piece of reading in World War I for young men, that we can create the perfect man. That's where we get the idea of the Superman, believe it or not. Superman was actually created because of Nietzsche. So you have all of these German scientists who are super organized and hyper-technical, mixed with really bad ideology and then a civilizational collapse. And next thing you know, you have an entire country run by scientists. The raid happened. Republicans are just sending out press releases. What are we supposed to do about it? What are Republicans supposed to do? You call it the Fourth Reich, but I'm not going to put up with that. What do we do?
We can't wait. We can't wait till next year. We certainly can't wait till 2025. The reality is that half the states are controlled by Republicans, and many of them with supermajorities. Right now, very simply, what they can do is the governor should join together, so you don't have one out on a limb and isolated, hold a press conference and say, talk about the pattern. And it's not just Trump, how they are criminalizing politics, saying that we're terrorists for just, you know, supporting Trump, believing in, that the vaccines are problematic or things like that. And we will pass a law, convene the state legislature, that we will block the FBI or IRS or any federal agency from coming in to seize, arrest, search and seize any individual who is a political opponent of the regime and is only alleged to have committed a misdemeanor or something along those lines. You have to talk about how you want to write it, but to make it clear that we're vetting out political persecutions, it's interposition. We're going to interpose. We're not going to allow it here. To buttress that fight at a federal level, the last time I checked, Republicans still have 10 seats in the Senate that they could use to filibuster and block passage of the budget bill. The budget has to be signed by the end of September. Okay, that is leverage. This should be declared war. They declared war. We will no longer cooperate with the Democrat majority in the Senate, not really even a majority. It's 50-50. And therefore, we are going to hold up the budget bill until these political persecutions are called off and until at least the 87,000 IRS agents component of the Build Back Better bill they just passed is reversed. Okay, you have to start using that leverage, harnessing that national attention, and all in unison come together and actually make the case, harness that point of national brinkmanship, okay, state, federal level. And I'm telling you, they cannot withstand that scrutiny. The reason it never happens is because we don't have that unity, and we can't have nice things. But in a perfect world, that's exactly what we'd be
doing. I said it even more bluntly on this program. I don't like talking like this. I don't enjoy it, but raids must be met with raids. Republican attorney generals should be executing raids on every major Democrat group that is suspected of criminal activity, such as harboring illegal aliens, bringing them across the border, funding riots like in the Summer of Love, all these different things. It's not going to happen, though. We know that. We know that. That Republican attorney generals, they're not actually going to want to do what's necessary to save the country.
So you're talking about a sword. I'm saying at least a shield. At least a shield.
No, I mean, but raids must be met with raids. What is the argument against that? You know, I was texting some of these attorney generals. They're like, well, Charlie, you know, we can't be political. I said, hold on a second. I said, first of all, you're a Republican. Okay. Second of all, they crossed the Rubicon, man. I'm not asking you to be political. I'm asking you to be lawful. Have you raided the stash houses for ballots in San Luis? Nope. Have you raided the BLM headquarters or the offices they have in red states? Nope. Why? Daniel, minute remaining, your thoughts.
Sure, red states aren't red. If they were, they would serve as a deterrent to this entire operation. This is why this whole discussion of the next election, I think people are starting to see, oh, nothing's going to change. If you can't make your red area red, you're worthless. It's got to be local elections have to matter. Also at a county level, we need sheriffs to start creating sanctuary counties that we will work together to thwart the feds doing this. And by the way, if anyone wants to pick up the book, trialsandexecution.com, so it doesn't get censored and you can get the first chapter for free right there.
I can't wait.
You will see why this is forthright.
So here's where I want. I want you and Steve to come on the program for a long interview. And I want to really kind of play devil's advocate because there's a lot here. Again, the book is The Rise of the Third Reich, understated, obviously. Where Daniel Horowitz compares the current regime to the existential evil of the 20th century. And if you look, Daniel and Steve, these are serious thinkers. These are not provocateurs. These are very smart people. And I'll tell you right now, I would put Daniel Horowitz and Steve Dace up against anybody on the left or the moderate right. Those two guys together, forget it. They'd run circles around you. Daniel, we're out of time. Thank you so much. Deeply appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Have hope, everybody. We have things they do not have. We have truth. We have joy. We have you. We're not going to put up with this. We will never surrender. And we have the will to win. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much. Talk to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.